Hello everyone, welcome to Starbucks on the way back from Wigan, where Norwich City drew 2-2, of course, with Wigan Athletic. We're doing this video live, well it's not live actually because we haven't got a connection, but we're doing this video, myself and Paddy Davitt, because we didn't do one last night, so apologies for that, but we thought we'd do it now. And also, you'll probably be listening to this on the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast as well, because we're killing two birds with one stone, which is very efficient of us, isn't it, Pad?
For a change.
He said it. As I said, we're travelling back from Wigan, where Norwich City picked up a 2-2 draw. And I think Paul Chesterton, our esteemed photographer, asked me this last night, whether it was 2 points dropped or 1 point picked up. I mean, I certainly feel it was the 2 points dropped category more than the other one. How did you feel about it, Pat?
Yeah, I'd agree. And more importantly, so would the manager. Very disappointed, post-match demeanour. You know, I talked about frustration. And you can see why, really. I mean, thinking about it since, if before a ball had been kicked at Cardiff Saturday, you'd have said, right, you're going to come back to Carr Road this Saturday, you'll have 4 points from two tough away games, you'd have signed for it, bearing in mind how wretched they've been on the road. But having got the win at Cardiff in those circumstances, and then had dealt with what they needed to deal with in the first half at Wigan, you know, physically they were strong again, pretty one dimensional stuff, but got themselves in front and they're in control of the game. And then seen it too many times before, I'm afraid. 20 minute spell by the manager's own admission where they've basically been overwhelmed and sadly done on set pieces again. Recurring theme. We hoped on that aspect they'd come to terms with it. They haven't on that evidence. And but on the positive, they did come back again. You know, we saw at Barnsley and Reading, off the top of my head, I'm trying to click through them all. QPR, Derby. You know, when they've gone behind, they haven't had the wherewithal to get back on level terms and maybe even go on and nick something, a winner. And they did that last night, Mitchell Dykes' header. So that's a positive to me, the character they've shown there. And it is a point when the dust settles, but should be all three, and it should be six on the road in the last 4 days, 5 days.
I got it suggested to me, and I haven't checked it out, though. It's only the second time this season Norwich have come back from behind to get anything this season, which sounds plausible.
Yeah.
And it was curious, wasn't it? Because they weren't shy of effort, and they did actually raise to the sort of battle for most of it, apart from those 20 minutes. It was quite a sort of one very specific spell in the game, which I guess... Well, have people shaking their heads.
Well, ultimately what happened was you get to half time, Norwich are 1-0 up and they're in control. They were playing that brand of championship football better than Wigan were, to be brutally honest, which is fairly functional. So Warren Joyce, you know, they're second from bottom at kickoff. They need to change something. He's thrown Will Grigg on, they've gone two up top, they've basically matched up Norwich, and Norwich couldn't cope with that. And Alex Neil said afterwards, I put it to him, that they obviously changed things. He said, well, that meant they matched up with us, and I, quote, felt we had better players than they are, which is the mantra we got after Birmingham. And obviously on the occasion of the Birmingham game, Norwich's better players did prevail. But, you know, you could say that's arrogance on one level, it's also confidence on another. But I just think if Wigan have altered something, Norwich need to react, because they didn't react. And then what happens is then they get a few skirmishes in and around the box, the crowd get back into it, they have a few corners, a few set pieces, and Norwich are vulnerable. I mean, it wasn't just the first goal from Bogle, there was two or three other, both before and after, when the ball's gone in the box from the corners, and it's just last ditch, it's absolute panic stations. And it's clearly obvious that group of Norwich players are vulnerable from set plays, so why give them any encouragement is what I'm basically saying. You track that right back to source, just when they've thrown Grigg on and the game was clearly altered, the dynamic of the game, Norwich need to react for me, and they haven't. And that's culpability off the pitch with the manager, and it's on the pitch with them players. They're experienced enough to see that they've gone two up top, they couldn't counteract it, and they paid the price ultimately, because they've ended up having to scramble a draw when really the way the first half had gone should have been a win. So, you know, no one to blame but themselves.
And that certainly accusation has been levelled towards the manager for, well, we're getting on certainly longer than a year at least. He did go 4-4-2 as we mentioned, and I thought it was interesting after the game he said that it worked in patches, but that some of the issues they had were the issues that he feels they have whenever they play 4-4-2, which is why he doesn't tend to do it.
Yeah.
As almost sort of doubting why he went for it in the first place. I mean, they did look quite flat, and they just had no room to play in even when they were on top of the game. They found it really hard going.
Yeah, that's a fair comment, yeah. I don't think Nelson Oliveira looks as good a player in a two as he is in a one. I think Jerome's better in a one as well, even though I know he said publicly before that, you know, all through his career he prefers playing in a two, but as you rightly say, it just looked very cluttered in those areas of the pitch, and the ball wasn't sticking. A point made by the manager in that 20 minute spell where the game tilted, that the ball wasn't sticking with the front two players, because that's not really Nelson Oliveira's game. Ball's fired up from full back areas, centre back areas, he's not really going to play them unless they're into his feet and it's decent service. Ball's in and around his head, you know, it wasn't sticking. So yeah, he's 100% correct for me there in his assessment. Parts of that union worked, other parts didn't, and that contributed to what happened in the second half.
There's a nice chat with Nelson Oliveira that I had, talking about his sending off and a few bits and bobs that will be out in the next few days, so keep an eye out for those. This is the point, I think, on the podcast where you'll be lucky enough to listen to the thoughts of Alec Neil and Nelson Oliveira.
I think if you take the 90 minute match, I thought we were probably on top for 70 minutes of that 90. I thought we created some good opportunities in that time as well, and through either maybe a bit of poor finishing or good goalkeeping or good defending or whatever you want to call it, we didn't score as many opportunities as I thought I was hoping we would have, and we probably should have. The disappointing thing from our point of view is obviously we scored for two set plays, but we get done with a set play as well, and then the free kick is disappointing for us as well. The disappointing thing is that Russell Martin's disallowed goal was onside, so for a start that was, should have been a goal, which wasn't, and I thought we'd get ourselves into real good opportunities at times, and maybe a final ball or a last finish maybe wasn't up to this quality that we normally have. And then even when we started the second half, I thought for the first 15-20 minutes we were excellent. You know, we put them under real pressure, they looked as if they couldn't get out, and I thought we were going to go on and win the game. And to be honest, when they changed their shape, they pretty much matched us up man for man, and I thought, happy days, you know, because I fancied my players to get the better of them. And like I say, I thought they had a wee 15 minute spell, they got a couple of balls down the side, got a couple of corners, got a bit of momentum, scored a goal, and then all of a sudden, when sometimes, certainly when you come away from your home, they started rally a little bit. They had 5-10 minutes in the game, they scored then another one, and then we started to go about our business again in the right way, scored. And then Josh has a great opportunity where he shifts his feet and hits it, and the keeper flings a leg at it and manages to block it. But even then, I thought we had a lot of good fed ball into the sort of centre forwards and around the box, and I think normally we would expect maybe a bit better at times. I felt the only time that Wigan really looked threatening was from a set play. I mean, they didn't create any opportunities or open opportunities from general play. I mean, the only thing they did was they looked threatening for set plays. And to be honest, if you look at the size of my team now, that really shouldn't be causing us an issue. Then we've got Tim Close at 6'4", Mitchell Diggs at 6'4", Cameron Jerome at 6'2", Nelson Oliveira at 6'2", Russell Martin at 6'1" as a centre-back. I mean, that's five big lads. Disappointed to concede their goals.
You said how well everyone has supported you since Rotherham. Did you feel you had to apologise after what happened at Rotherham, or do you feel like you're making up for lost time now?
I think it was a difficult moment to me because I should not react, I know that is a mistake, but the guy pulled my hair, every people saw what he do to me, and sometimes is the instinct, it's like if I push you, you will react. But I know that I shouldn't do that. I apologize for that. But it's past, and in the moment I was sad. I was angry, and it was not a good time for me last couple of weeks. But now it's past, and now I'm happy. I'm back. I score. Hopefully I can continue to score more goals and to help my team to get promoted.
And just one more, I guess this is maybe a game that you would have lost a few weeks ago, do you feel? You know, being 2-1 down with 20 minutes to go. And
yeah, I think now we are in a better run. Now we are more compact, more. We look good. I think we look we will get the playoffs, and I'm 100% sure that we will get there. We only need to continue with this attitude, together, because this is important to get the playoffs. And if we still like this, we will achieve our goals.
Welcome back to the Pinken.com podcast. Before we get back to the discussion, think you're the best at fantasy football? Do not wait until the end of the season to find out. Put your fantasy football knowledge to the test, people, and win cash every week at DraftKings.co.uk. Apparently, DraftKings is the world's number one destination for one-day fantasy football for cash. Now, you can go to DraftKings.co.uk/pink now to pick a team and enter this Saturday's contest for a shot at winning a share of $200, which I would imagine is probably worth more in terms of pounds now than when whoever wrote this down wrote it down. So get in there. That is the address, DraftKings.co.uk/pink to play free. We should touch on Yannick Vilshed. Or Vilshut.
Do we have to?
Well, I think we should. No, you're shaking your head. I mean, only in terms of the fact that he got a pretty hot reception, which had obviously been highly billed, and he was pretty ineffective at Cardiff and arguably had a tougher game of it this time around. I'd like to think that now he's got this game out of the way, it's something he doesn't have to think about and he can kick on, because the fact that he posted an advert in the Wigan Post or whatever it was to explain his reasons for move meant that it was clearly on his mind.
Yeah, no, he was sad. Wasn't at Cardiff, so I can't judge him on that performance, but last night, shocking, absolutely shocking. Clearly those were factors, you know, he was booed mercilessly from start to finish.
From the warm-up.
Yeah. And he was culpable for the free kick, albeit that there was other people then thereafter, but it was him who gave the free kick away for the second Wigan goal. Didn't see anything of a player signed at great expense. But it's early days, you know, it would be very, very unfair to judge the man on that evidence, for reasons already stated by yourself there. I mean, that was going to be difficult, whatever the circumstances. But the fact it came so soon after the move as well, feelings are still very raw, on both sides, it would have feel. But that isn't a good start to me for his Norwich career, from what you boys are saying, what you saw at Cardiff, and then that last night. He needs to up it and up it quickly. You know, we're now at the business end of the season. He knows what, unlike Dykes, he knows what English football's all about. He knows what the Championship's all about. And we need to see a lot more than that. But in his defence, obviously two tough away games. Norwich have really had to come out of their usual style. I think it might be different at Carrow Road this weekend. So, you know, let's reserve judgment. But not promising early signs from what I saw last night.
100%. And I still remember Nelson Oliveira's first few appearances where he's like, not sure about this. And you know, he came good in the end, so that was all right. And you touched on Mitchell Dykes. That's the first time you've seen him play.
Yeah.
Pad, what did you make of it? He got a goal, of course. I mean, it's going quite well.
Well, Bogle accounts it. Bogle was his man, so he, you know, the first header that Bogle scored from inside the 6-yard box, as much as John Ruddy, I don't know, he seems to. I haven't seen the highlights subsequently, I only saw it once in real time, but I think Ruddy come for a ball and was never getting it, but I think it was Dykes' man, so you know, he scored one, but he was probably at fault for one as well. So but he's certainly a bit, you know, big boy. I can see physically that won't be phasing him at all, so I don't think Norwich are weaker in the left back position for him from what I can see. No,
we already know he's called Big Mitch, so there we go. Alright, well, that's pretty much, there's not much to say about Wigan. I mean, they're in a relegation scrap and I didn't really see much yesterday to think that won't continue for the rest of the season. In terms of Norwich, they go to Carrow Road and Forest on Saturday. I mean, it feels like it's been a little while since they were back at home, and then of course they've got Newcastle also at Carrow Road a few days later. Two big home games. I mean, what do we want from that? Because I guess normally you'd take a point away from home, but the problem is Norwich are still playing so much catch up. Yeah. And we keep talking about them scraping into the top six, but they're miles off the other three teams in the playoffs, so they can't really afford to drop many points at all. That's the position they've left themselves in, and no, these are two big games.
But reality is, all of those above them, they have to play them again. You know, so in that sense, that wouldn't concern me unduly, as long as they perform, as we know they can do. But Forest, that falls into the Birmingham category for me. That's a team who have to be put away and put away emphatically. And then, well, for about 92, 93 minutes at St James's Park, Norwich were on for a win there. So I'm not personally fearing Newcastle's visit, but by the same token, if Norwich are as vulnerable as they were last night, then Newcastle will score because they have probably some of the best attacking players in the division. So, but Carrow Road's a different proposition. I would fancy Norwich to take at least 4 points and hopefully six, and then, as I say, then you feel it's rolling on. I mean, like I say, it feels like a defeat last night, but the reality is it's four unbeaten now, so you tack another two positive results onto that, then that's a six unbeaten stretch, and you know, then there's grounds for optimism, but it just tinged with a bit of frustration at the minute.
I think we can see the corner, at least, whether they'll turn or not, we'll see. Anything else you'd like to say, Pad?
Nope, I think that's probably it. Let's get home.
I think that's gone quite well. So thanks for watching. We'll try and do these live when connection allows, but Corley doesn't have Wi-Fi that allows this, apparently. So, and of course, thanks for listening on the podcast too. Make sure you subscribe to that, and we will give you all the reaction, analysis, build up, everything you need over at pinken.com, either side of the two home games coming up. Until then, thank you very much, Pat. Thanks to you for watching and listening, and we'll see you soon.